Blog Talk Radio.
On with Stupid is on the air. IWS, exposing the stupid. 24/7 on the web, 35/2 on the radio. On with Stupid is on the air.
Madam J, take it away.
Cheers, greetings, and welcome to I'm With Stupid. This is the Mac Man coming to you live from the Palatial Digs here in Bagwine, Ohio. And sitting next to me to my right, a mere few hundred miles away as always, the irrepressible J-Man.
Hola, and welcome to everybody out there to our wonderful show. Got a big one today, Matt. Big one.
It's going to be legendary.
That it will be. Going to be a monster show.
Yes.
How's everything going with you?
Could be better. Got a few issues.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Down in the
situation brewing.
Oh, it's been brewing and stewing all morning, Jay. Pipes need a little tightening up. Kind of loose today. But I shall adapt and overcome.
Well, pretty soon you'll be out, you know, doing the physical activity in 90 degree and 50% humidity weather, so that should help.
Oh, yeah. It'll be wonderful. Just sweat it out.
Yep, down in the old vitamin water.
Yep. And how's things down in Redneckville this fine day?
Just wonderful. Everything seems to be fine. It is hot. It is humid. But other than that, things seem all right.
Are the mowers out there mowing the burgeoning grass?
The mowers are kicking up the dust this morning here at the Palatial Estate.
Well, it's nice to know people still honor their contracts, whether the grass needs mowed or not.
Oh, yeah. They show up and say, hey, we're supposed to be here every other Thursday, and we're here. But we haven't gotten more than a tenth of an inch of rain in, 4 months. Not my problem.
That's right. That's right here every Thursday.
That's right.
And a quick shout out. We got a guest in the room, and then we have, of course, the lovely Joe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and, yeah, baby.
Mr. or Mrs. Monkey 63.
So, yeah. All
greetings.
Right.
Greetings, all.
And Monkey 63 has been here a number of times. Thanks for returning.
Yep.
Most people don't. Most people don't come back.
Probably a masochist. Yeah. Maybe the name should be Masochist 63.
Maybe. Okay. I got a couple of shout outs this morning.
Well, by all means.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to, we here at I'm with Sue. Oh, I'm sorry. I would like to send out a happy birthday to Miss Dana Lou.
All right.
Who is busy with her weekly accounting meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Right now,
that's
probably.
Nice. That's nice of you to do that.
Yeah. And I would also like to wish a happy birthday to our good friend, Average Chick.
Mm-hmm.
They're both having birthdays today. Isn't that great?
As you know, as anyone who reads the IWS website at iwsradio.blogspot.com knows that at 11:59:59 last night, I am no longer celebrating anybody's birthday over the age of 12.
Oh, well, what a mean old man you're turning into.
I know.
A grumpster.
No, I'm into the loving people every day kind of thing, not just that one.
Oh, well. Well, then send out some love to people who just happen to be celebrating their birthday today.
Okay. Shout out to Schmoop. Love the Schmoop. Love her every day. And there you go.
Okay. Well, that's sweet.
Well, yeah. And we have a big guest. Big guest today.
We do. And I believe the guest is on the line. So you want me to do a quick intro?
Do a quick intro. We'll bring her right on, Jay.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is Miss Nicole Russin, who you may know under her chef name of Richard. Nicole is a journalist, started working as a journalist at the age of 13, actually. She's author of several e-books and a few cookbooks, her most recent titled Ostentatious Cupcakes. She's also a musician in her spare time, and she's a model. Needless to say, she has a lot of different interests, and she's a pretty fascinating person. And IWS Radio would like to welcome Miss Nicole Russin.
Hello.
Hello. You're what's stupid.
Hola. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi. I like the intro. It says something about being in a, not you, the Blog Talk Radio lady. It says something about entering the cove, like the pirate cove, or I don't know what she said. Something about a cove. It made me think of that. It's hilarious.
Oh.
Well, then welcome aboard, matey.
Yeah, I'm in your
toe. All right. So how's everything going this morning? Are you completely awake?
Well, if you want me to be fully honest, I got sick last night somehow, I guess, because, like, to be honest, I've had inherited not an Irish castle, but diabetic type issues. So you have to manage, like, what time do I eat, and then this thing. So it turned out last night, way, way too late, and then today I got sick, and I was kind of...
Oh.
But the good news is I threw up, and now I feel excellent.
Fantastic.
But I didn't throw up because I knew I was going on your radio show. That's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No.
Okay,
no, it's just you have to manage it. So I got really... But like I say, the good news is usually you feel better once you do it, and I feel good now.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's why, you know, if you've been, you know, if a person's out, you know, partying, having a good time, drinking, they always feel better after they throw up.
Yeah.
Same concept.
Yeah, same thing, yeah.
Well, you're not alone. We're sharing similar problems this morning, Nicole, so we'll get through this together.
Yeah.
All right.
You guys can bond
over
here.
But I'm fine
now.
You can ask me whatever you want, and
oh.
I can talk about it. I was really worried that I wouldn't be able to talk, or I'd be really quiet or something, but I'm not anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll start out with your book, your latest book, the Ostentatious Cupcakes. What made you decide to do a cupcake book?
They're really popular. That's basically why. And people seem to think that there's this mystery to it, that they're really difficult. And it's just mostly the decorating. And that's what I was telling people. And at the beginning, I have something in there that just talks about everything in this book is done by dyeing certain colors, using forks, and using little things. And it's nothing that's that big of a deal, but it seems to be when you put it together. And then it becomes ostentatious, if you call it. And it's all in presentations. If you put a cupcake on a, you know, plain cupcake and you just dump whipped cream or something. Like, I've seen people do that. So it's not going to work. Or if you even have fudge on it and it's plain, it's not a big deal. But especially women and guys trying to date women should definitely decorate a cupcake because women love cupcakes. And I didn't realize that so much until I told people I was doing a cupcake book and then everyone would say, oh, Nick Harris. You know, like the voices women do and old people. I don't know how to do an old person voice, but yeah, that's what they would do. And it's really impressive to people more than anything for some reason.
When I first saw your your book when I was going through some of your information. It made me think of, I have a recipe, and you can tell me what you think of this. I like to put dried beef and cream cheese on top of a cupcake.
Beef, you said? Like the meat?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that, but I mean, I guess it could be a contradicting taste. Because
exactly.
Some people have, so what's really popular is people have jalapenos a lot and sweet things in Texas.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Down in Texas, they like to kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
jalapeno cookies are big, and I hate to sound uppity, but I think I remember the first time I had heard it was on TV, and I was going to the University of Texas, and they talked about how the Four Seasons Hotel chef at the time was doing jalapeno sugar cookies and something else. And it trickled down a lot from there, so now you go to diners and stuff, and you'll have jalapeno ice cream and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just at the Four Seasons or just at the Ritz and stuff. It's for everyone, which I really like. And wasabi ice cream, I've seen that. Wasabi is a Japanese thing. I've never tried it, and I think it sounds gross, but
yeah.
It sounds really gross to me, but people like that, and they have that in Austin.
Yeah. It's good to see controversial ingredients used in cooking and baking.
Yeah, well, it stirs conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And creativity, and it gets people going.
I mean, if you
like
it and you're happy, who cares?
That's right.
There you go. I mean, if you're a fan of Spam Parmesan, then you don't have to worry about what other people think of it.
And in Hawaii, they have Spam a lot, too, so
yeah,
that's their thing.
And Hawaii's a great place.
Yep.
I don't know. I remember reading the back of the Spam can when I was little and thinking, oh, wow, I don't know if I'm going to eat that.
That was hurtful, but we'll continue.
Yeah, it's true.
Spam,
I feel bad.
Spam is one of my favorite foods.
Yeah, I think I was scared because it looks like it. I mean, even when I ate meat, I think I was scared because it looks like a space suit.
I don't think Spam had a
sick,
face
though.
At any point.
That's the other thing.
Well, I'm glad. Okay, you brought that up. You kind of mentioned it right there when you ate meat. When did you the cupcakes, ostentatious cupcakes? These are vegan recipes, correct?
No, they're regular. I make everything. Yeah.
Okay.
I have
you see
a vegan
how good
book.
I am at research.
Yeah. I have a vegan book, but I don't only make vegan food because that's kind of limited, and not everyone wants to eat that way every day. And even vegan people will end up cheating on vegan diets. So that's just, I don't want to be kind of, you know, preaching to people. That I guess that's sense. I don't like that when other people do that, and I don't want to be one of those people. And I can talk about benefits and things, but I don't think, even I don't like eating a vegan diet every single day. I mean, I usually do, but I have cheat days because I just like to eat, you know, really traditional soup. And if you go to an Irish pub or something, they're not going to say, oh, let's make a vegan soup today. I mean, chances are they're going to eat 2%. Vegan soup, well, that's the thing. People get confused because they go to really bad vegan restaurants, and they think, oh, this is representative of all the food. When all you have to do to make vegan food is make food the same way you would do with, say, any dish. Say you're making a soup. The only thing is that you switch out some ingredients. You don't make it differently. The problem is some people make vegan recipes that are only for vegan people, and that's when things start going bad. Because I told you on Twitter, I don't remember which one of you, I wrote you that I've had deep-fried southern tofu before, and that was vegan, and that wasn't really what most people think of vegan food. But, you know, a good example, you cook things the same way. You just can't make it like it's horse. I don't know if you've ever seen what horse. You've seen what horses eat, right? You're in Arkansas, like that. You go on the farm, you see pigs and the thing, and they're eating slop. They call it in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
That's what most people think of vegan food, and that's not what it is, unless it's probably done the wrong way.
Oh, okay. Well, I've never tried any vegan food, so.
And like I said, I doubt in your part of the country, actually, I've been in places that have bad vegan food, and I don't like it, and I like eating vegan, so I don't think there's much hope for it to catch on at this point if people proliferate the bad food. It's just...
We're a meat and potatoes country.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, that's the thing.
This
is when people
was
make
founded
it,
on red meat.
Yeah, but I don't eat meat, though. That's the one thing. I eat mostly, if I cheat, it would be with a dairy product or...
cheese.
Eggs once in a while. I don't eat meat at all, period, anywhere.
Wow.
So you substitute tofu?
Or you can make, say a burger. I remember the first cookbook I had, which is to kind of teach people what they're doing and encourage them to think for themselves when they do a cookbook. I have a black bean burger recipe in there, and you use breadcrumbs and black beans and things like that. You put it together, and it's very meat-like in its texture, and the color is pretty good. And you grill it in a way that I guess that crisp. It's not a crisp. It's solidity.
Yeah. I've made those several times, and they're a good thing to toss in there is a little liquid smoke.
You could do that. I don't do anything with, smoking and stuff like that, because do you have a shed in the back of your house or something, like some people do, and then they get the wood and that sort of thing? You smoke it? Is that what you do, or?
No, it comes in a bottle. It's actually called liquid smoke. Or you could use cumin.
If you wanted barbecue tofu, I would assume you do it the same way, just not as, probably as much because it's the softer substance, but you could do that. It's all the same thing. And green bean casseroles and that sort of thing, you can make that vegan. Well, to start off, it's basically already vegetarian. Then you make it vegan by just using fake dairy products. And you just have to use the right fake dairy products and not the bad ones. That's all it is.
Well, see, that's where the problem comes in, because, like the fake cheese, that doesn't always cook up the same way, and it sometimes has a very weird texture to it. And you pull the casserole out of the oven, and the fake cheese is just kind of like, looks more like Jell-O. It's just kind of wiggling there and didn't really spread.
Gaia is the one that melts down really well. It's spelled B as in David, A-I-Y-A. And Whole Foods actually uses that on their pizza. It has the right amount of stink to it. It has this kind of... I mean, when you open the bag, you would think it's real because it smells. And it has... cheese has that really weird, almost bad smell. The stinky cheese, pungent cheese, and it has that. And then when it melts down in a pretty good way, too. There's another one at... Tofu Eddie that has cheese slices like Kraft, and people use that a lot.
Maybe I just haven't really been looking for the right stuff, or maybe they don't carry it at Walmart.
That's the big thing. I actually have a friend who goes to Walmart for the most part, and he's always complaining he can't find what he's looking for, so I assume that's a problem. Yeah.
Well, our Walmart
sells, but they don't have anything else.
Yeah, our Walmart does have a little vegan section, but it's only like one little rack over there near the produce. And it's just, they've got some tofu over there. I've never tried tofu. So.
Well, and like I say, if you go out, I don't know, you're in Arkansas and then, what's the other state?
Ohio.
Okay, Ohio. You're not going to find a big selection there. You'd have to go to maybe... I don't know what the nearest big city is to you. And I say big, not large city. Because you'd have to go to maybe Chicago or Miami and cities like that to find a lot of variety. I know, I mean, like I say, from Illinois, I know what the shopping is like. Even if you want meat products, the meat products aren't the best when you go to certain places as they are when you go. You know, St. Louis has this really good chain called Schnucks. It's a grocery store, and you have to go to certain Schnucks to find more variety. And there's one by the Frontenac. That has more variety than, say, Creve Coeur.
I've heard that.
Yeah. It's just regional. And Schnucks is it's a funny thing because at UT, I met this guy, Chris. Hi, Chris, if you're listening. Chris Gaines. And he told me that he thought it was hilarious every time he went to St. Louis because he would hear these ads on the Cardinals games, and they would talk about Schnucks, and he just cracked up whenever he heard Schnucks because it's such a funny name to call a store.
It is. Yeah, but, you know, our one of our big supermarkets here in Redneckville is a place called Hudson's. And you can be pretty sure you're not going to find a lot of vegan foods in a place that has a great big 2-ton ceramic cow sitting in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the amazing thing, though, is are you familiar with this guy who used to play football called Kurt Warner?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He used to work at a grocery store chain called Hy-Vee. And I think in the Midwest they have the dumbest.
Oh, yeah. Hy-Vee's a great store.
Yeah, okay, well, I have a friend who goes to one of the Hy-Vee, and he said now they're bringing in a lot of vegetarian stuff and fake cheeses that are actually good, not just iffy fake cheeses, and they're bringing in all these products, and they brought in these sausages that are very realistic. And he said sometimes they just don't restock them, that's a big problem, but they do, in fact, bring them when they are stocked. So that's the thing. I mean, the stores are kind of changing a little bit for certain people.
I'm going to
write
that. I
would say that if you live in a town of 800, you know, good luck.
I'm going to put that on my grocery list for this weekend. I'm going to write down realistic sausages.
Yeah.
And I want realistic heartburn after my realistic sausage, too.
Yeah. I would tell you the name of it if I can remember. I've tried them. They're actually really good. Really thick.
Yeah, well, our friend Monkey in the chat room says that he once ate cubist sausage. So that's a little different.
The cubed one? I don't know how you'd get a cubed sausage, but that'd be pretty funny.
I don't know either.
Are you a big fan of the real sausage?
Oh, yeah.
Actual
because,
sausage, yeah.
I have a friend of mine who's actually making sausage. I mean, you order it through the mail, and he makes... No, really, you do. And
well, I know. I just don't know if I would like my sausage through the mail.
No, you should try it. And it's a guy who does... you know, he was on Food Network Star, and he makes his own sausage. It's not like he's a big factory or something. And you should go on his website. It's called adamgertler.com. I wish I would have his sausage site available to me. And it's Adam, A-D-A-M, like you would think, Gertler, G-E-R-T-L-E-R.com. And right away I went on it. It talks about somebody reviewed him, Gertler the rock star, fantastic pastrami sausage. And then he has a joke here. I made it so good, I called it my worst. You know, like it's kind of a pun.
Yeah.
It's the best of the worst.
Yeah.
So he's and it's called Gertler's Worst. Let's see. How does he pick up Adam's sausage?
I hope your friend's not keeping a lot of cash on hand, because I'm sure if he is, someone's casing the joint.
Yeah, I know. There's so many good puns you can make with the sausage. It's like, and actually, I remember he wrote on Twitter, it's funny to think about a couple of grown men doing a photo shoot with sausage. Because it does sound kind of like a double entendre type thing. He was taking pictures with his sausage, which sounds right there. It sounds very bad.
I don't find so much to be funny as I find it to be art.
Art? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've taken some artistic photos of my sausage before. Sent them to people online. Unsolicited, of course.
I do think he should come up to some girls or, you know, potential customers and say, well, I could send you photos of my sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell them, and then the girls ran out screaming, and it's really just something like a pastrami dog. Really funny.
Yo, lady, check out my sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
I was showing everyone where I work yesterday my 15.75-inch cucumber, so.
Yeah, I know. You come up with all these jokes. It reminds me a little of Austin Powers. I don't know how he has those. You know those scenes where Liz Hurley has the fruit? She's just at the end with the melons, and she's pulling the melons. That's really funny.
You know, speaking of Austin Powers, who's, you know, an international man of mystery, you're kind of an international woman of mystery.
Yeah.
Doing so many things.
I used to say that on Twitter, actually. I used to say that until people didn't get it. So I finally had to change it to multilingual print journalist because they didn't understand what I was trying to get at with that.
So you... You speak multiple languages?
Well, originally I learned Spanish when I was 12. I took a Spanish class in junior high, and luckily they gave it to me. I don't know how, because it was meant like, for ninth graders. And I was just really happy I got in, and I didn't realize I'd like it, but I really liked it. And then as I've gotten older and I wanted to learn other things, I've seen that a lot of languages are the same. But they have different spellings and pronunciations. But, you know, like Italian was E-L-L-E instead of L-E and things like that. There's just certain things you can double. And you can actually get away with, even if you feel like you're not at a conversational point yet, you can get away with reading in other languages. And I want to say French, Spanish, Italian are very similar. Portuguese has a lot of the same words as I mean, I have these little flashcards in my purse, actually, and they're all the same. So when I want to be able to find a place to blog in Portuguese, blog like my journalism interviews. That's what I'm referring to. Not stuff like, oh my god, I picked a toenail today. You know, like some people write on their blogs. I have interviews I post, and I haven't been able to find one yet, but that's one of my goals is to blog in Portuguese. And I'm translating all my books, so I have, you know, like this little kid's book I have, Do You Know What I Can See?, which is really ironic because I don't have good vision. I'm translating that into all these languages like Danish and Swedish and stuff like that. And again, with that, like the other half of Europe, once you get into the Scandinavian languages and Danish, they're quite similar. And I remember being out on the, a couple of days ago, somebody asked me just randomly, like, as a joke, how would you say cat in Swedish? And it was like, kot, or katten if it's really young. And I remember that. I was thinking, wow, that's pretty good. I had some of this thinking. But basically, yeah, I do write and post all my interviews in a bunch of languages. And hopefully I want to be able to be at a speed where I can talk really, really fast one day and talk about people and go to, say, a Chinese restaurant, talk really, really fast in Cantonese. That would be very, really neat.
Yeah, speaking of Italian and Spanish and French, they're kind of similar to Latin, too. Latin, yeah.
I don't... The funny thing is, who would he speak Latin with, though?
Caesar.
Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen. Any good Catholic.
Martin Sheen, yeah. Or teacher. And I was wondering, do you think Latin could be funny?
Oh, everything's funnier than Latin.
I mean, how would you, because it seems like it's so serious. Whenever I watch Gladiator and things like that.
Well,
I get the sense of this serious time period.
Yeah, Gladiator is not exactly a knee slapper.
I'm going to go on. I'm just curious. I went on my iPad now. I want to translate something in Vlad, and like the cow is eating my dinner. And it comes with vacum. I don't know if this is accurate or not because I don't know Latin. Vacum comedere senum meum.
That's
where the cow
on.
Is eating my dinner.
It's very impressive.
And see, didn't that sound funny?
I don't think it's funny. I just, it takes away all the humor as soon as you translate it, apparently. Let's say the penguin. Did they talk about penguins back then? Penguin.
Look. I don't think there was too many penguins in the Roman Empire, but
I know.
Well,
I just,
you never
I,
know.
I think it's hilarious to see they even have, a penguin word. Let's see, they have the penguin look like it is angry. In imperio sectat vige a erratus. Erratus, I figured that's angry.
Uh-huh.
Imperio, mm-hmm. I just. That doesn't make sense to me. Penguin. Ice cream. Well. Let's see if they have that. Glacier Trebor.
Well, you know, if they did have penguins back in the Roman Empire, they were doing something deviant with them.
Probably. Yeah, I
you know,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Madman is very popular in Scandinavian countries. He made a lot of friends up there last year.
Yeah, on the internet?
Yeah, I wrote a piece on our website about Norway and Norwegians, and became almost kind
have
of a national icon.
Norwegian, have you ever had Norwegian food and gone and received all these prizes in Norway where they come in a line and bring you gifts?
No. I went to a smorgasbord once. Does that count?
Do you know how to say fish in Norwegian? It's a tongue twister.
No, I don't. Lay it on us.
It's spelled F-I-S-K, fisk.
Fisk.
So that's like if you get lost and you're hungry, you just say fisk.
So I could
somebody
go to
show up with a raw fish at you.
I could go to a McDonald's in Oslo and order a fisk filet.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
If you say fisk, you know what? It's basic enough that they'll show up with that. Somebody,
right.
Or it's possible they could show up with those little Swedish fish candies. I don't know. I don't know if they have those up there, but you know, either one of those will fill you up for dinner.
We'll have to go up there and check that out, Jamie.
Yes, we will. All right.
This is just going wherever you want to take it. I don't care.
Oh, get a copy of that right there, Jay. There's your next promo. We've longed to hear a woman
direction.
Say that. We've longed to hear a woman say that.
Yeah. Well, I already basically went on the Howard Stern direction talking about Adam Gertler's sausage.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, speaking of sausages, there's a headline a few minutes ago that Anthony Weiner will not run for mayor of New York, so I guess Weiner's going to pull out of that.
I guess it's not really a surprise.
Well, I thought he could be, you know, he could be some stiff competition.
Yes, he could.
All right. So
I mean,
you have a... Oh, go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say something stupid, as usual.
This is the show for it.
Yeah.
I'm sure his poll numbers are up and coming.
I bet they are. All right. So, how many books have you either authored or co-authored, Nicole? You've got quite a few on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
10. A lot of them are just translations, though. Or, say it's a cookbook. The second cookbook is online, divided up in English into a bunch of had a bunch, but you know, a couple of e-books. But for the most part, all the books that are, I don't really have anything that's strictly an e-book. Everything is a book.
Well, yeah, I noticed that it was available both as for Kindle and if somebody wanted to order, you know, the hardback.
Right.
Yeah. And I've made my books really cheap and taken away a lot of the markup. So if anyone wants to buy one, I mean, you could buy one for less than your dinner. I mean, there's a big chance. Like, I'll go on. I know I have one that's $7.95 that has a lot of recipes in it, and that's in English. I'm going to translate a lot of these. But, you know, like, say here, the vegan cookbook. Actually, sorry, I went on the UK one here. Stupid of me. Let's see here. All right. This is an Amazon USA. Vegan cookbook paperback is $8.99. According to this, I did change the price a little, I think, on that. You know, a lot of these are dropped way down. The only one that hasn't changed in price is this old one I co-authored with a guy called Christian. And that's in color, and I think that's just because we couldn't drop it down. Just because color printing is more expensive. But, you know, kids' books, they're all $9.99. That's the most, the kids' books are actually more expensive than a lot of my books. And then the only one that's pricier would be the Ostentatious Cupcakes, but then again, it's more coffee table type book that you lay out, and people will say, like, oh, my God, your cupcakes are so gorgeous. Let's go make out now, or whatever, because it's like the chick magnet thing. That
you know, I never knew that. I never knew that, and I'm going to start using cupcakes as
a lure. And you give them to old people, too. They'll love them. They just love cupcakes. And ladies of any age, 50-year-olds, 80-year-olds, 20-year-olds.
Well, now, how fancy does the cupcake have to be? I mean, could it be just, you know, your basic cupcake with white icing and maybe sprinkles? Would that be good enough?
That would do,
yeah. Oh, wow. Because I can handle that.
There you go, Jake.
Yeah, and also, like I said, I usually use a knife and a toothpick. That's what I always tell people in the beginning. It says at the beginning of the book, and I also have explained it. And you just, if you want to dolphin or something, you just, you have these paint sets, and you put the toothpick in the black, and then you put an eyeball, or they even sell pre-made eyeballs. I've used some pre-made eyeballs in the book, and they look really ridiculous. And I made a tadpole, I made a goldfish koi, I mean, using these fake eyeballs. And if you make one that's messy, like I had one called Three-Eyed Man-Eating Monster, and I had a backstory to him that didn't make the book, but I thought was funny. For lack of space. The thing was that he was, you don't really know whether he's a man-eating monster or if he's just been framed. He's actually been eating breakfast, and then he's just eating eggs and stuff. You don't really know. That was what I wanted to put there. But he has three pre-made eyeballs on him, and he's messy, and his blood and gore and teeth. And, you know, you could even make one that's messy like that, and the girl would still like it. But anything with hearts. That's a safe bet. You know, most people can draw a heart. And if you mess up, you just correct it with a fork or knife.
There you go.
Yeah, keep it simple for most of us.
Yeah. Like an orange peel chiffonade. That's what I would go to. That's my go-to
thing. There you go.
Yeah.
Anything. I mean, you can do anything on a cupcake. I would stay away from the one that's ground beef, you were suggesting, but... I don't know how many people would like that, but it's not too pretty.
Well, you don't know the women I hang out with.
I was going to say, you know, in the Midwest.
Roseanne?
That's
Roseanne? Is it what women you're trying to pick up?
What'd you say?
Know. Are you trying to pick up Roseanne? That's what I was saying.
No. We got
who
a lot
else
of...
is going to say, like, oh, ground beef?
We got
yeah, well, you know... In the Midwest, you could say, you know, hey, baby, here's a ground beef cupcake with a little A1 sauce on top.
I don't know. I'm from the Midwest, and I can't see a lot of girls I knew doing that. I hope not. And the funny thing is, like I say, I've met a lot of people from the Midwest and other parts of the country, and they all pretend they're not from the Midwest. Really strange to me.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But, what I always tell people, too, is there are a couple types of women who live in Illinois. I don't know about other parts of the Midwest. I'm one of them, you know, the Jennifer Connelly type. Roseanne is a great stereotype. Usually you find people like that. Or you might find somebody who's like the Team Ogle girl. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's this brunette girl with brown
hair. Oh, yeah, she's hot.
Yes. Well, oh, yeah.
Tell me the Team Ogle girl is hot. Yeah, she is. She's really pretty. And, you know, that's one of the girls. Or you find Roseanne. And some of the girls are black. Basically, we don't have any Loudoun people in Illinois. Sad to say. We have maybe 10, I want to say.
Well, you have more in Illinois than you do Iowa. So they.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think they all live in one part of Chicago, and that's about it. It's like a block.
Mm-hmm. I think that's called the ghetto.
You find one house, and that's where they all live at this point. And I don't want to be come off racist because I am, like, way back part Spaniard and certain part. I'm just making, I mean, it's all in good humor. I can say it because I am this trashy Midwestern girl who's part Spaniard, even though I'm Irish. You know, it's true. Like, I get the feeling because it's like we don't have diversity, really. I mean, everyone's basically Irish. Downstate Illinois is German. You find some German people up in Chicago. You know, no diversity. And I think as a result, people assume everyone from the Midwest is probably ignorant. And, like, I guess that's why I'm answering my own question, why people pretend not to be from the Midwest.
Yeah. J-Man likes to make that claim about people in Ohio, and it's hurtful at times, but...
Say everyone's ignorant in Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh, it's I only make that in response to some, you know, vicious, cheap shot he's taking at people in Arkansas. Oh, my goodness.
Well, Arkansas has Walmart.
That's right.
See?
So,
Bill Clinton?
And that's basically all Arkansas has. I've been in towns in Arkansas where they have, the only thing in town is a Walmart.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and a church or five
and
or six.
And school.
Or
that's
a dozen.
Yeah.
And Walmart's
fishing
like
holes.
A big thing in the town. You either work at Walmart, or you eat at Walmart, or you shop at Walmart. I mean, it's nothing you do.
Oh yeah, it's the you know, it's the social gathering spot.
At my Walmart in Illinois, all the people who worked there were really old.
Yeah, that happens.
I don't know if that's a good thing, but I liked it better that way. I've been in some Walmarts where they have, like in Texas, I've been in Walmarts where they have a lot of questionable people and, you know, kind of Jerry Springer type people working there who yell at you if you ask them a question. Just, you know, I prefer the old people. I don't care if they're trashy old people. I just like old people in general. They're funnier.
Well, actually, the old people at Walmart that you speak of, they really only look old. They're truly in their mid-30s. They've just been there for 5 years.
They're about 80-something years old.
Walmart's just wearing them down.
It's all the smoking and stuff.
Okay. All right, well, we've got less than a minute to go here, so we'll probably need to start wrapping it up. Thank you so much for being on with us. What are you working on now? Are you working on any big project right now?
You know, I'm doing a cookies cookbook, and then one is a hot food cookbook. And it's funny because they just kept talking about all the stuff I didn't expect. Yeah, and then, you know, blogging, interviews. And I always tell people, bloggers are not journalists. Journalists can sometimes blog because blogging is like I told you, you waxed your ear today, you're going to write about it on your blog. It doesn't take any talent. Or, you know, you're like, oh, my God, OMG, I, like, tried a cool lipstick today type blogging. And that's not what it is. It's when you talk to people that are genuinely writing an article, talking about some of the achievement, or if they talk about you guys, I could talk about today, one of the show, and this, he said he had an article in Scandinavia, something like that with genuine content is journalism.
No,